Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
If you have a business, you need a website. What's the best way to get a website up and running? Choose a website hosting company that makes it simple, like Pear Networks. Pear has over 20 years of experience managing the entire digital ecosystem for thousands of online businesses all around the world. Pear makes it easy for you with do-it-yourself website building tools and features, including simple drag and drop page design. And they have guaranteed U.S.-based support technicians ready to help you whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right now, when you sign up with Pear Networks, you'll receive one free month of web hosting. See for yourself how easy it is to build your website for free. Visit pear.com/free to get your first month of website hosting for free by using the code QUICKSTART. That's pear.com/free, promo code QUICKSTART to get started today.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
So, Amy, I'm just going to dive in. This case, when it happened, I followed it a little bit. Clearly not well enough, though. Because people have suggested it to us, and I'm like, okay. And then I read it, and I was like, wait. Hold on. What?
I have experienced that myself when I thought I was following the case and I thought I knew everything. And then when you take kind of a closer look, you realize, oh, I see exactly why this is making the public crazy. There's this part that I missed.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I'm just going to dive in.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Today we're going to talk about Jason Landry. And this is a new case. It happened in December of 2020.
I mean, we're not shocked. We know you do that.
Exactly. So there's not a whole lot about his, like, growing up because it's so new.
Sure.
And we're focused on, like, what happened. So he was born in 1999, which I was like, 1999? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're in high school. Let's just skip over that part. Go on.
Yes. Okay, so he's born in 99. Not a whole lot about his early life. His dad, Kent, and his mom, Lisa. His two siblings. I know he has an older sister and then a brother. I'm not sure if the brother is older or younger. But the family is really close. So Jason transferred as a sophomore to Texas State in 2020. And lived off campus at an apartment in San Marcos, Texas. So, I know it was a really long time ago, Amy, but it's mid-December, and what is going on at college life in mid-December?
Finals. The worst time of the year. It's not like Christmas at school. It's the polar opposite.
Right. So, your schedules are crazy. Because finals aren't when your class, at least for us, finals aren't when your classes is. Finals are just scheduled by your professor in time blocks. And then you're trying to pack to go home because all you want to do is get the heck out for your Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly that. That's where Jason is right now. He is wrapping up school, going to finals, and ready to go home. Now, in an interview, his dad said that he was waiting to December 14th to go home because that's when his sister and his brother were coming home, too.
Okay.
So, I think school wrapped up on the 13th and he was going to head home the next day. Well, he found out a bunch of his high school friends were getting together the evening on the 13th.
Sounds pretty typical. Everyone's like,
exactly.
Hey, we're so happy to see each other. Let's get together.
Exactly. So Jason decided that he was going to head home that evening. It's only about a 2.5 to 3 hour ride, which was essentially our rides from college.
I mean, they seem so difficult to do now, but we did them like it was nothing.
Exactly. So at 10:55 p.m., Jason finishes everything he needs to do, packs up, and leaves his apartment in San Marcos, driving to Missouri City, which is where his parents live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next pieces of information I'm going to give you are actually found out after the fact because Jason was using Waze, which is a navigational app.
Yeah,
are you
familiar
with it? I use it too.
Because it tells me where accidents are, it tells me where the police are, and everything.
Exactly. So Jason was using that. I'm going to kind of run through. We're getting this data from, like, his phone usage, okay?
Yes, and I hope we are doing that in 2020.
Yes. Okay. So at 10:55 p.m., he left his apartment and punched in his family's address to leave. At 11:05, he's driving his vehicle on Highway 80 and passes under I-35 in San Marcos. These are all totally normal places he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at 11:07, he is on Highway 80. At 11:11, he's in Martindale, Texas, still on Highway 80. At 11:15, he passes over 130 on Highway 80. Basically, we're doing everything we should be doing, right?
So far, so good.
Exactly. So, at 11:24, he crosses into Luling, Texas on Highway 80. Now, at this point, the Waze app closes and Snapchat opens. Take your mom brain off for a second.
I mean, not completely weird.
Yes, I agree. He passes through an intersection. Now, from what I gather about the area, Luling, Texas is a highway goes through it, but it's a rural area, right? So it's not like a highway that has four lanes and all of that. It's like a rural highway. Does that make sense?
I mean, I don't know if this is right, but I kind of picture when you're looking from an aerial view at the highway in some major cities, it looks as if they're all going all over the place, like loop-de-loop.
Like they go through a bunch of small towns, Fentress, Prairie Lee, Stairtown. Like they all go through, like, we're in rural Texas, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
This isn't something I'm inferring from what I've been listening to and hearing and reading from the interviews and stuff. Highway 80. Now, and the reason I'm kind of understanding it is Amy and I went to college in a rural area, right? So our drives home. Yes. So our drives home were a mix of highway and back roads. So I kind of understand, like, what his drive would be like.
Okay.
And he's supposed to be taking a left turn, but he goes straight. And my logic is he closed Waze to look at Snapchat and missed his turn.
Right, which is not safe. You shouldn't be using any apps or really your phone and picking it up when you're driving, PSA.
I agree, but it is what it is. College kids do it. And I don't want to, like, sort of harp on that, but yes. So he continues on Austin Street to Magnolia Street, and this is where his digital footprint ends. There's sort of no more digital record from that point forward. That was at 11:24 p.m. We know his car continued straight onto Salt Flat Road because of what happens next. A volunteer firefighter, now we're in rural Texas, is actually headed home and is driving through the area and sees a car off the road with its lights on. Now, volunteer firefighter, so obviously they stop, right? It is 12:31 a.m. The lights are on and the car is running. The person gets up, the firefighter gets out of their car, goes over and looks. The car is very clearly totaled. It has crashed into a tree and a barbed wire fence. And this is Jason's Altima. The rear windows are broken as a result of impact from the tree. And there's no other vehicle involved in the crash. Now, the volunteer firefighter at that point obviously calls it in, right? Says, hey, you know, like, what's going on, etc. But there's no person in the car. So they don't know if this is a... It's been there for hours. It's been there for a minute. They have no idea. They go on, they report the car. Law enforcement is actually not deployed because it's a single car accident. And they impound the car. But they do what they're supposed to do and they look up the owner of the car and all of those things. So investigators believe at that point that the only car involved is Jason's. And it looks like he overcorrected on a gravel road. And when he overcorrected, the vehicle spun out and hit the tree and the barbed wire. They, at 5 a.m., they call his dad. He's the owner of the car. So they call him and they say, hey, like, we have your car here, whatever, whatever. Obviously, his dad is now freaking out because it's his son's car. So he goes to the crash site. And I apologize. He arrived to the crash site around 5 a.m. He probably got the call around 4 a.m. He goes to the impound lot first and kind of goes through the car a little bit. At this point, and I want to make this clear, up until today, in December of 2021, there's no crime being committed. So when his dad goes to the impound lot to get the car, he went through it and searched it. And he takes Jason's cell phone. He looks around. Now, Jason's cell phone is actually found wedged between the driver's seat and the center console. You know that black hole next to you when you're driving? His dad then gets the exact location of the crash and goes there. Now, here's where it gets a little bit bonkers. His dad walks the crash site. About 900 to 1,000 feet from the car crash site, his dad finds Jason's clothing, including socks, underwear, everything.
So I've been listening intently and quite frankly saying, this sounds just like a tragic accident and just waiting for something else. And maybe that's what you meant in the beginning about beginning to follow the case and then not really knowing about these extra details. But now I'm like, what is going on?
Yes. I was like, wait. So he gets in a car accident and then he's naked?
I mean, I have some guesses and really unformed theories at this point, but keep going. I'm curious what else dad's going to find.
Okay, so then he calls law enforcement and he's like, come back. Authorities come back and do some searches and they find Jason's backpack, his toiletries, and a tumbler with his dead betta fish inside.
Oh.
Now, I don't want to harp on that a whole lot. A lot of people on the Reddit are, like, really into this fish thing. I think he just had a fish and was going home for a month, and
he had no way to transport it, and he didn't want it to die at school.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's all
yeah. I think it is. Not that that's all I think it is, but I don't harp on that. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, he brought his fish.
No, because I have left my fish in college over the weekend and it didn't make it. So for the month that he's gone, it's absolutely reasonable to say, well, I can't carry this glass bowl in the car because A, it could break or overflow or like tip over or something. So I'm going to put it in this cup. However, in the middle of December, in kind of the Midwestern area, where I imagine the climate is relatively similar to where we are, a slight temperature change for that fish would have probably been detrimental.
Exactly that. They find his backpack, his toiletries, his fish, just north of where they find his clothing. So at this point, police are like, okay, maybe we really should dig into this, right?
I feel like every single thing should always be treated as a crime scene. Always.
Yep, you know, I agree with you, but there's a couple things I want to talk about now. The car was then processed for any DNA or blood evidence, but there was no blood inside the vehicle.
They can't prosecute anyone with this being tampered. I mean, the defense would latch right on to that, so I imagine they're just doing this to figure out what happened to him.
Okay. I agree. And I also want to say two other things. There is a speck of blood inside the waistband of his underwear. And when I say speck, I mean like if you scratch yourself with your nail and then like you bleed for a second. I mean that kind of blood. Law enforcement has not said in any way, shape, or form that they believe this is indicative of foul play.
No, and I hate to paint a picture or anything like that, but people shave and groom themselves. So.
And he got in a car accident.
Well, I mean, that's a valid point, too. So we have lots of reasonable ideas about how this could have occurred.
Yes. And the last thing I want to talk about is in his backpack, there was a small amount of marijuana. Now, there's two things I want to say about this. One, it was first recorded that the backpack was filled with drugs. That's not true. Okay? It was a small amount of personal use marijuana.
That's a big difference.
Yes. Second of all, I do not care if a college student smokes weed. If you polled college students in the United States and asked how many of them have smoked weed, I bet you it's a large number.
I mean, I agree with you. And between this year and last year, several states have some form of legal use of marijuana. It's just not, if you had a bag full of drugs or marijuana, I'd say, well, maybe you have some intent to sell. That would be different. But this is personal use. He's just like many other college kids. Regardless of what you think about it, they do it. So, there you go.
Right. And regardless of what you think about it, many states are saying it's okay. So, I don't even want to harp on that. It's not like he had a bag of cocaine. And we were like, okay, well, he could have been not in his right state of mind and all those things.
Well,
like,
here's my question, though.
It's a little bit of
did they take the marijuana? Did they test it?
It's all we know is the sheriff's office had a press release saying the small amount of marijuana has been seized and is being held.
It's hard to say if they did or not. They might not have a reason. And I'll tell you why I'm asking you that later. But go on.
Okay. And I just want you to know that, like, also in the backpack was his, ready for this, Amy?
No.
His laptop and his gaming equipment, which totally sounds like a 21-year-old boy.
It very much does.
That's when we sort of are in a what the heck happened now, right? Texas EquiSearch, which we've talked about a few times, comes in to help law for, well, first law enforcement, I apologize. First law enforcement does searches, okay? But they bring in Texas ExoSearch pretty fast.
Yeah.
I'm talking the accident happened the early morning hours of the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Texas ExoSearch was on site on the 16th, or 17th.
Okay.
Over the next 3 weeks, I believe, over the next 9 days, they covered 3,500 acres over 1,300 hours. They used horseback drones, side-scan sonar, drained two bodies of water, and a helicopter.
Okay, so that is not helping me to shape up my theory at all.
I thought that might throw you off a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's it. I got nothing else.
And it makes sense because very little evidence that was also tampered with and an aerial search. And just a mere 1 year later, I know that we often don't have information available to us that fast. So no surprises there.
Okay, so the only other things I want to talk about is, and Amy, it kind of makes me want to go back and talk about like a million other cases we have talked about.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing, well, I knew about this part. There's this thing called paradoxical undressing. Do you know about that?
I'm not sure. I feel like I do, and it might have
okay
something to do with something going on with the person where they don't, for whatever reason, regulate their temperature well, and they feel like they need to take all of their clothes off to cool off.
Yes. So in hypothermia situations, there is almost at the end of hypothermia. Like if you picture hypothermia in stages, right? Let's say it's, and I'm going to make this up, right? 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
The first 5 minutes, you're freezing. Minutes 5 to 7, your body starts deconstricting and kind of a warm rush goes over you.
Yep.
And a lot of people will strip off their clothes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So there's that. And then there's this other thing called terminal burrowing.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds actually kind of scary. And it sounds to me as if it's getting hunkered down in a particular spot. Tell me more about that or if I'm on the right track.
You are exactly. In... Once people paradoxically undress, the next stage of hypothermia is essentially hide and die, right? It's protect yourself, so you try to climb into something and be, your body is safe and hidden,
mm-hmm.
and then you pass away.
Yeah.
That's just something that has come up in this case that I wanted to obviously bring it to your attention because the window of time between Jason's last cell phone activity and when his car is discovered is 67 minutes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to give you a window here.
Yeah. A little more than an hour. Gotcha.
And that's what I got. So first of all, what are your thoughts?
What were the conditions like that night again?
It was cold. In the 40s.
I believe it. I probably similar to Connecticut. We can go anywhere from 50 degrees to negative 10.
Yep.
Okay. At this point, police, like you said, still don't recognize that a crime happened, correct?
As of right now, police say there's no evidence of foul play.
And I can see that. For me, I don't necessarily see that either. So what are the couple of main theories?
Well, there's obviously the side theories of, like, he left his life and he died by suicide, which I throw out both those almost immediately. And then there's he got in a car accident, got a head injury, and then succumbed to the elements. And then there's someone picked him up. And that's it, really.
I think I have a couple of thoughts and I'm not exactly sure where I landed. Maybe talking them out will help.
Okay, go for it.
So there's the obvious car accident and becoming perhaps disoriented because you hit your head, get out of the car, and start walking. And who knows what happens because you're delirious and nonsensical at that point. And then you wander into something or hypothermia sets in and you do exactly what you said. And we just haven't found him yet. My other thought is similar, and I don't even know if it makes that much of a difference, but maybe he smoked at some point on his drive, or he pulled over and smoked or something, and either he wasn't fit to drive, or whatever he picked up before he left campus was laced with something, and therefore further inebriated him or contributed to getting in the accident and then leaving on foot for whatever reason that he thought was logical in his brain. And we just haven't found him yet. Either one of those scenarios, I'm not sure it makes a difference about the finite details, but I don't really see foul play here. I mean, he's on his way home. Don't know that anyone would have been following from campus this college kid heading home to play video games. Nothing was stolen or taken. Why would anyone come across him and rob him or have any ill will towards him? Just seems more of a long shot than those other theories that I was talking about. I wonder if we just haven't found him yet.
Okay, but then I end up with his parents. Where is he? How far did he get in 67 minutes?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I was totally... I thought I had it all figured out, right? Like, in my head, he switched from Waze to Snapchat, dropped his phone between the seats, hit the side of gravel while he was trying to get them.
Yeah.
Overcorrected, got in a car accident. Which, to me, okay, that's all logical, right? Then, I don't know.
I think the accident caused him to be disoriented because... the first thing that you think when you get in an accident is, I need help. Whether I need medical help or I need a tow or I need the police here, whatever it is. And then your next go-to is, let me get my phone. If he was completely, if he had all of his faculties, he would have known that he dropped his phone because that would have been the reason that he got in the accident. So he would have reached between the seats to try and get it. Not go off into the abyss. So we don't think that he even really attempted to get his phone. He must have been confused and gotten out of the car and started walking. That's my thought.
And then took off all his clothes and just come to the elements?
I mean, yes.
And you're telling me no one else out there saw a naked guy walking around?
We don't know exactly about what he did right after the accident. He could have been knocked out for an hour.
Okay, well that makes it even more difficult.
Why?
That makes it even more difficult to believe. Because then, if he's unconscious for an hour, that means in 7 minutes, where did he go?
I use an hour, but it could have been 30 minutes. Now, if it's 32 degrees... and you're knocked out, you wake up, you don't even think about your phone, your car's colder, the weather outside is freezing, you're not adequately dressed, you get out, start walking around and pacing. At that point, maybe the hypothermia sets in and he takes off his clothes and he continues to walk.
And then why did Texas Equisearch not find him?
Do I think it would have been likely he be found? Absolutely, but... for the same reason that thousands of other people remain missing, sometimes forever and sometimes for many years. We just didn't hit the right spot.
I don't know. I just struggle with the not nobody. It's not like...
I do too, but that seems more plausible than some random foul play to me.
Yeah, I don't know that I think it's random foul play either. I just don't know. I don't... You know, we've been doing this podcast for, 2 years now? and we talk about people that go missing, and I just still don't understand how a person just vanishes.
You also didn't understand a whole bunch of people holding a secret for 2 years into a podcast, so.
Touche, touche.
I don't know. I think that we're trying to reason out something that the person who is missing was not in a reasonable state of mind. And when we're dealing with that, the possibilities are truly endless. That's why it's really scary when we deal with someone that's injured or under the influence of drugs or alcohol or something else, you know, that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, when they are not in their right state of mind.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It just, the whole thing blows my mind. They searched 31 acres. And we're using dogs trained for cadaver dogs. And nothing. They drained water bodies.
I would like to know if there's, like, such a profession, like a medical type of theorist or something, to, like, tease this out with. Because it makes me wonder if he was injured and he's wandering and finding temporary shelter or something, what cold or stress might do to exacerbate injuries and perhaps make his state of mind even worse and get himself in a deeper mess? Because what if he survived a while after that accident and got himself far enough out of the search radius, but it actually really made things worse for him?
But then why wouldn't he find a random person and get help?
I don't know. I get it. Like, the direction I'm going gets more outrageous as I think about it. But I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'd like to see this area.
I mean, the whole him being naked and just vanishing is what gets me. I mean, I just don't know what else, where else to go from here, except for, I don't know. I literally don't know. Usually I have thoughts, right? And I think I figured out the accident. But I can't wrap my head around what happens next.
I think that this is another one of those cases where the easiest answer is the answer. And there's details to iron out for sure. I think he's lost and we just haven't found him. And tragically, I think that he's passed, and I know no one wants to hear that or you know, whatever. But this isn't some guy who left his life or something like that. I just think we haven't found him.
Oh, for sure. People are like, oh, he left his life. And I'm like, he left his life what? And left his phone and backpack and fish?
Right.
All right, do you want to open it up?
Yeah, I think so. I can run this theory in so many ways and add and take away minor details that may or may not make a difference. So I'm wondering if you guys are in the same position too, and share them with us and let us know if you have some alterations to make to our theories by adding or taking away details, or if you just have a completely whole other theory that we're not thinking about. I'm curious.
For sure. Please let us know what you think.
All right then. Well, thanks, Melissa. I'm really excited for what this new year brings, because the first couple of projects we've done, or the first couple of cases we've done, this and Patreon, have been, I don't know, there's something about them.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys, we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, thanks. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.